Derek Aaron here with Senator Max Wise. Max, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today about the upcoming General Assembly. Just talk a little bit about the challenges that you see ahead for this session.
You know, Derek, there's going to be a lot of challenges upcoming this legislative session. We start January 4th, and this is our long 60-day session, so we'll go all the way through through April. But, you know, with those challenges is also some opportunities. I think one of the big things we'll have to do this session will be the budget. You know, it's duly constituted for us to have a balanced budget as we gavel out after the 60 days. So that's going to be the biggest key policy this legislative session is getting a balanced budget. But there's going to be a whole lot of other host of issues going to be facing us. We're going to have districting. We can have issues dealing with education. But I think one of the biggest things of all is going to be workforce. And it's going to be having to improve our labor participation, our workforce participation rate. You know, we are one of the worst three states in the country for workforce participation. We rank with West Virginia and Mississippi, and we've got to change that. And I'm not saying government has to provide all the solutions, because I think a lot of this gets down to individual initiative. And for them going to find work. And so, but we've got to do something to change the stigma that's happening right now in the Commonwealth.
What do you think needs to be done regarding that, Max? Is there anything out there? I mean, there's not a solution that's going to fix it straight across the board, but what are some things that can be done?
You know, I think one of the things we have to do is look at who actually is on unemployment right now and find out that there's not any abuse that's occurring with that. We know there's jobs aplenty. You can travel all throughout my 16th Senate district and actually across the Commonwealth, and you'll see signs saying now hiring. We've got to make sure that people are on unemployment for the right reasons. But if they're able-bodied Kentuckians, they need to be finding employment because everything's right now in the backs of the working people, and we've got to change that. And so if someone is on unemployment, they're not actively looking for a job. And what I mean by that is not just making a phone call for an interview, but actually going to that interview. We've got to change that. So that's one of the things I think we have to focus on is getting people back to work.
You mentioned redistricting as one of the challenges, issues that will be taken up. Talk a little bit about that process and what all that will entail.
You know, this is the first time I've gone through redistricting as a legislator. And so we base it off of the 2020 census. Every 10 years, we do a population count. So you know, we're going to have to go in and look and see where those population shifts have occurred. You know, in my district, I think a lot of things have kind of stayed the same, maybe a little bit of a population increase. In some counties, maybe a decrease, but maybe that's offset. But probably you run into is far west Kentucky, also in our eastern part of Appalachia region, we've lost population numbers, and it's caused that map to shift. Everything is kind of north-south. It's growing right now in Kentucky, and so it's going to make the legislative map look different. That's going to change our congressional map, which we vote on first. We allow our six U.S. congressmen to come up with their district, and then it pushes down to the state level, and then it goes to the local level. And so as of right now, my intention is to keep my map as it is in terms of my legislative district, but unfortunately, you don't get a whole lot of say in that because it's just based off of the numbers and what shifts in one area could completely and drastically shift a state house or a state senate map as it currently is represented.
You also mentioned the budget. Obviously, when a budget comes into play, it's a big undertaking. Talk a little bit about the challenges that lie ahead involving that.
Well, one of the things that we're having to deal with is we have a very large influx of federal COVID dollars that came into Kentucky after 2020. And with that, people are going to look at it and say, Kentucky's really doing well, but we need to step back because that's artificially inflated dollars that have came in. That's not revenue generated from Kentucky. So yes, we do have a surplus. You know, we did a very smart thing of dividing the budget into one-year increments 2 years ago, but now we've got to go back and we've got to look at what we've got. And we did a very conservative job of putting that into the rainy day trust fund so we could see what COVID was really going to do to us. So now we've got money to spend, but we've got to be very smart and very conservative as to what we do with that because, you know, we don't want to just spend, because later that can end up being tax, and we don't want that. So I think we've got to be very, very mindful of where money needs to be allocated to. If it's going to go to wireless broadband, which I think is a necessity in today's time, do you also look at salary increases for state employees? Do we play winners and losers? And that's the thing that I do not want to do. So there's a whole lot of big decisions that have got to be made this legislative session. But ultimately, you know, we've been given this, and so we're going to have to put it to where we truly feel like in a 30,000-foot view from above, where are we really going to get our bang for our money for a long-term impact?
You obviously mentioned a lot of things. Anything specifically that you're working on?
You know, for me personally, being the education committee chairman, I do a lot of work in education policies. And so this will be a session where we've got to make some really, really big decisions because, you know, we can't say that COVID is always an excuse for everything, but I think COVID has changed education. I'm for in-person education, but we've also got to look at the education profession because we're seeing a lot of teachers not go into the education field that they once were. But that's also not just education. Now, we could say the same thing for law enforcement, social workers, and a lot of different sectors of state government. But for me personally, I think I'll have my hand in a lot of education bills. One bill that I will be sponsoring is name, image, likeness. It has to do with NCAA and student athletes. So we're in a totally new era right now where the NCAA and the U.S. Supreme Court has pushed this decision out to the state to make decisions. And so we've got to come up with some safeguards into place as to how we do name, image, likeness for student athletes. That's one of the bills I'll have. But a lot of the conservative issues, I think my district knows where I'll be standing at. You know, issues dealing with supporting the Second Amendment, issues dealing with pro-life legislation, which I always fully support as a legislator. So a lot of things will be on the table this upcoming session. So I'll be there, you know, to make what I would consider the best interest and best decisions for the district that I represent.
Well, thank you, Max, for taking the time, and best of luck in Frankfort.
Thanks, Derek. I appreciate the time today and appreciate all the listeners there in Russell County and the whole Laker Country region. I've always appreciated them allowing me to be their voice up in Frankfort. I look forward to that as we go forward.